Attention this morning to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts is full of conversion accounts that are all valuable for our study, for our learning. But one of particular interest is one found here in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be looking in Acts 8, verse 26 through 40. As we see a eunuch of Ethiopia, a man of great importance, a prominent man, a man that is now returning from Jerusalem where he has been to worship God, possibly a Jew that's been in that area, or a man that is a proselyte, Gentile that knew God and was following according to the law of Moses as he could. At any rate, he has been in Jerusalem. He has been worshiping God, and he is on his way home. He is returning. And yet, God speaks unto Philip. And he tells Philip to go and join himself unto this man. This man is needing to do something else. This man is a religious man, but yet he is not yet a New Testament Christian. And so we have, by inspiration here, recorded for us the account of his conversion. How he is going to be turned and become now a New Testament Christian. And I want to suggest to you that there are a number of things, a recipe here, if you will, of things that were open. And that when these things are open, many times, if not every time, we're going to see the same result that happens here concerning this Ethiopian. That he indeed, by the time we are done, will depart with great joy because he now has the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. And so what was opened? I'm going to suggest to you first off, there was an open Bible. Let's begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Here is a man that has before him the open Word of God. He is interested in knowing what is right. He is interested already in knowing what is truth. It's simply amazing that many people will want to know about how they can be a Christian and want to know about how they can be faithful unto God and not want to study the Bible, not want to open it, not want to know what it contains. Time and again, unfortunately, as we sit down with certain ones to study, oftentimes the comments will begin to come forth. Well, I felt in my heart, or I have always believed, or I have always thought, or I have always been taught. And on the words will go. Of what we think and of what we believe, rather than being willing to open up the pages of God's Word and see what it has to say. Long ago, Jeremiah would say, Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh, there are many ways that may seem right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We can think within ourselves that we are doing that which is right. We can think within ourselves that we are good people. But are we willing to allow the Bible to answer that question for us? Are we willing to allow the Bible to answer the question, what must a man do in order to be saved? Are we willing to allow it to answer the question, what must I do in order to continue faithfully with God? What must I do in order to have eternal life? The Bible answers all of those questions, the man's greatest questions, if we will but go to it and open it. And that's the example we see first off here with this Ethiopian. That he was willing to go to the Word of God and allow it to be his guide. In fact, we go to Paul's instructions unto Timothy. And he begins speaking of the Word of God with particular reference here to the Old Testament, but can it be applied to the New Testament as well? that Paul encourages this young man, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. He says, "Continue thou in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Yes, even those Old Testament Scriptures pointed the Jews unto the way of Christ. Even they told of this man that was to come, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It guided and directed them to the Christ if they would but listen to the Word of God. And that's what this Ethiopian was reading. He was allowing himself to open God's Word and look to it for answers. And Paul exhorts Timothy to the same thing. But even us today, we don't go to the Old Testament to learn what God would have us to do. But still, those things point us unto Christ. And when we come into the New Testament, certainly those things point us to Christ. The very, very gospel of Christ that tells us of His life, even of His birth, of this perfect, sinless life that He lived, of the death that He was willing to die on the cross for our sins, the blood that He shed for the remission of our sins, Matthew 26 and verse 28. Even His resurrection, in which He would come forth out of that grave. The grave could not hold Him. He conquered over it. And then would ascend and sit at the right hand of His Father, which is in heaven. He was allowing the Word of God to be opened before Him. And such must be the case if we are going to be converted, or if we are going to help someone be converted today. That we have to have that Bible open. Here is the very Word of God that is able to save us and that is able to build us up. Paul would say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1 and verse 16. "Indeed, I'm not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation." Here within God's Word, we have the gospel that's revealed unto us, the good news of salvation. Are we willing to open it, to look in its pages, and allow it to be our guide, allow it to be our direction? James would urge us in James chapter 1 and verse 21, saying, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." And he would go on there in verse 22 and following and urge us to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. To be able to do that, we first have to open our Bibles to know what God would have us to do. And that even once obeying that gospel, then that is what's going to continue to build us up and encourage us. Paul, in speaking to the elders from Ephesus, would say, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Are we willing simply to open the Word of God, to go to its pages and allow it to see what does it instruct me to do? Here was one that had the first part of a right recipe to be converted, because he was willing to open the pages of God's Word. But an open Bible simply isn't enough. He also needed here to have an open mind. He was willing here to receive help. He was willing here to ask questions. Let's go again to Acts chapter 8. We just read in verse 28 that he was reading Isaiah, beginning in verse 29. "And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man. The eunuch here is reading from Isaiah 53, and he doesn't know what it means. He asks, how can I know what these things mean, except some man explain it? And here he was willing to ask Philip, will you help me understand these things? I'm afraid far too many people have come to the conclusion today, however, that they cannot understand the Word of God unless somebody explains it to them. What we have here is a particular situation. A situation in which we do not have the completed, written, inspired Word of God at this time. The eunuch doesn't have the ability here to go to the New Testament and see the application of what the prophet Isaiah was speaking of. And so he's lost. Who is he speaking of? Is this going to happen to the prophet, or is it going to happen to some other man? I need someone to help me understand. And so he was willing to ask Philip, can you help me understand these things? And Philip, of course, knowing the things that have happened now unto Christ, himself being a New Testament Christian and a faithful proclaimer of God's Word, was willing to sit down with him and study and explain these things. We can go to God's Word today. We can go to the New Testament, and one is indeed able to pick it up and to read it for himself and to know the things that God would have him to do and go out and be faithful. And yet at the same time, we need to have an open mind like the eunuch. One that was here willing to ask questions. One that was willing to ask for help that he might understand the things that he was reading. Are we willing to do the same things? Are we willing to ask as well, what am I supposed to do? What do these things mean? And look for an answer from that open Bible. He joins here many others that have been recorded on the pages of the New Testament. The Jews that were gathered on an occasion in Acts chapter 2, who would ask in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they were convicted of their sins, what shall we do? Of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, who would ask Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do in order to be saved? He had an open mind that he wanted to hear the right answers. And so he was willing even here to study. He was willing to ask for help when he needed that additional help in understanding God's Word. So even still today, we're exhorted that we also would study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. That we would know, that we would understand, that we would correctly apply the Scriptures to ourselves and to others. It's going to take study. Again, it's going to take that open Bible, and it's going to take this open mind, that we allow it not to come with preconceived notions of what's right and wrong and what I'm going to do, and I just want to find some verse that will allow me to do it. But rather that we truly have the open mind that will come to that open Bible and allow it to answer our questions. That we will allow it to guide us and direct us. And so with that open mind here, indeed, he was willing to allow God's Word to answer the questions that he had. He was willing to study. He was willing to look and say, I need help. I want to know more. I want to be pleasing unto God. Remember, this was already a religious man. But he wanted to know more about God. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The very things that were recorded for us in the New Testament, in fact, all of the Bible, these are accounts that are written for our faith. John specifically, in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, would say many more things could be written concerning the things of Jesus Christ. But these are written that you might have faith in Him, and that in having faith in Him, you might have eternal life. That's why these are written. And when we're allowing ourselves with an open mind to go to that open Bible, we too can find the things that are written therein. We too can have a faith that comes from knowing those things and following those things. And that's what the eunuch was allowing himself to do here. That like the Christians of Berea, Paul would or had written of them in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, that those of Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They had an open Bible. They had an open mind. An open mind that allowed themselves to turn to God's Word and say, that is where I'm going to find my answers. That's where I'm going to learn what's right. That's where I'm going to learn what's wrong. And I'm going to continue in those things that are right. I'm going to leave behind those things that are wrong. Are we willing, with a readiness of mind, with an openness of mind, to search the Scriptures, to see the things that are so, to see the things that are right, and to follow therein? The eunuch had an open Bible. He had an open mind. But also we're going to find there was an open mouth. This wasn't the eunuch's. The eunuch had an open mind that was ready to listen, that was ready to hear, that was ready to learn someone that would explain unto him the Word of God. And that's where Philip comes in. Because we begin, go back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. After he has been asked the question, of whom is the prophet speaking? Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Again, important here is the idea of an open Bible combined with an open mind. Philip began at the same Scriptures and began preaching unto him Jesus. What's he doing? He's going through here and showing how those Scriptures apply to Christ. He's able to tell him now of how Christ has fulfilled all of those Scriptures, of how Christ has died, He's been buried, He's been resurrected, and that now we can have the hope of eternal life with Him when we will simply follow His Word. What was important here? Philip was ready and willing to teach and explain the Scriptures. You might also say here, right along with the open mouth, Philip had an understanding or an appreciation here for an open opportunity. That even we would pray and have appreciation for open opportunities. Those that want to know more about God. Those that are willing to sit down with an open mind and an open Bible to learn and study and know what they must do in order to be saved. But then be ready to fulfill or ready to take advantage of those opportunities. This opportunity was right here before Philip. He climbed into the chariot to sit with him and to study with him these Scriptures, because he was ready to teach the Word of God. We also need to have that same preparedness. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Why? Why do you live the Christian life? Why do you have hope of eternal life? Why would you endure persecution? Especially here as we look at the Christians of the first century that are being brutally treated. Why would you continue in that? Why would you continue faithful unto God? What hope do you have? Are you willing and ready to explain to anyone why you are a Christian? How they also can be a Christian? Philip was ready for that opportunity. He is here among those that are mentioned in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 that went everywhere preaching the Word of God as they were scattered abroad. We also think of him as one here that is fulfilling the Great Commission. That Jesus, as He speaks to His disciples, will say, go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 and verse 15. And Philip recognizes that opportunity that's right here before him. Because he's prepared, he's ready to take advantage of it. Again, that's the instruction Paul would give to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine or teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Yes, it's important for us to know the Word of God, for us to study it. Again, open mind, open Bible. That we also then not only have that benefit for us, that we know God's Word and that we can follow it, but those that will hear us, those that will also sit down with us and study the very Word of God, that we're ready with that opportunity. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about the opportunity that you can have the same hope and the same joy that I have that this Ethiopian will go away with at the end of this chapter. And so Philip was not ashamed of the message. Again, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever there shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 10 and verse 32. But if we are ashamed of him, if we will not confess him before men, why would he confess us before his Father which is in heaven, verse 33. Philip here was willing. He wasn't ashamed to speak up for the gospel, to speak up for Christ. He wasn't ashamed of that message that he had and that he had the ability here to share with someone else. Not only that, he was willing to tell unto him all that he needed for salvation. Example of Paul, again, as he's speaking to the elders from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. As he tells them, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Philip could sit down and he could speak about a lot of things, but it wouldn't help this man in the answers that he needed. It wouldn't help him answer the questions that he had. It wouldn't help him know what he needed to do in order to be converted into Christ, in order to obey the gospel. He could speak of many things, but what this man needed to hear was the gospel. He needed to know that which was right, the things that were right unto salvation. Philip here was ready to sit down with an open mouth and tell him about the gospel, that he could hear it, that he could believe it, that he could have faith, for without faith it would be impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He was going to have to hear the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, in order to have that faith. That's what he needed to teach the Ethiopian, the eunuch here. And then if he would continue in those things, if that eunuch would believe them, he needed to hear also what he needed to do next. As he taught the gospel here, it's evident, as we'll see in just a moment, he is obviously teaching him of the necessity to repent, to turn from our sins and follow the will of God. I believe not mentioned in this passage, again, because you have a man here that wants to please God. And so when he sees what he needs to do, he is ready and willing to do it. A man that must confess Christ. Or verbal confession made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, a confession that even is going to show not just with our mouth, but in our very lives, that we're going to show forth that yes, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That we're going to live that way. The eunuch here is studying and he's asking, who do these things apply to? Philip can show him from the Scriptures those things pointed to Christ who has now died for our sins. And then the question is also evident. He answers that one must then be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That our sins are washed away, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. That he tells them, yes, and no, yes indeed, you can know God's will. That you can understand it. And so with an open mouth, Philip explains to him and helps him learn about the Scriptures. And because then this Ethiopian has an open mind and an open Bible, it's evident by his actions that he also has open eyes and open ears. He was willing here to listen to the things Philip had to say. He was willing to listen to the Scriptures that Philip was speaking of. And he was willing to apply those things to himself without hesitation. Oh, how different his response could have been, and how different indeed many did respond in the first century and continue to respond today. Paul, on one occasion, would shake off the feet and say to the Jews, I turn now unto the Gentiles, because time and time again they were rejecting the Word of God. And he'll say, I'll go unto those that will listen. Matthew records for us the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 and 16, he says, in them speaking of these people that will not listen to Him. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Indeed, the Ethiopian shows here by his very actions. His eyes were opened. His ears were open, because he wanted to see, he wanted to hear, he wanted to understand the Word of God. He wanted to know, what would God have me to do in order to be saved? Unfortunately, there's many people in the world, even today, that are full well capable of seeing with their eyes. They're quite capable of hearing with their ears. They're quite capable of understanding the Word of God. But spiritually, they've closed their eyes. Spiritually, they've closed off their ears so that they will not see, so that they will not hear the Word of God, and they will not apply it unto themselves. But Jesus says, if they would, if they would open their eyes, they would open their ears, if they would understand, then I would heal them. Then they would be forgiven of their sins. But indeed, blessed are those that will hear, those that will see, even as this Ethiopian does on this occasion. For you look in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? It's never recorded in there that Philip preached unto him baptism. But it's evident that as Philip preached unto him Jesus, that he was showing him the things that he must do. And because this eunuch had open eyes and open ears, because he had an open mind to the Word of God, because he had an open Bible in front of him, and because he had one with an open mouth that was helping him to understand, that when he knew the Word of God, when he understood it, he didn't have to be pushed, he didn't have to be begged, but he was ready and willing. Here is water. It's available. What hinders me from being baptized? The answer, of course, is nothing. When he heard and understood the Word of God, he was ready to obey Him. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. The chariot stops, he and Philip go down into the water and they are baptized. If you look in verse 38 or verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here is a man that's converted. A man that's converted because indeed he has his open Bible with an open mind. He has one that's helping him, that doesn't mind having an open mouth, that's not ashamed of the gospel and helping him apply it to his life. And he's converted because he has open eyes, open ears, that he will understand God's Word, that he will apply it to himself. The question then is, are we willing to apply God's Word to our own lives? Are we willing to look at it as well and say, have I done the things that God has asked me to do? Am I ready to apply those things without hesitation? Yes, indeed, even today there is water that one could be baptized into Christ. There can be an understanding as we'll sit down and help you study God's Word, that you can know it, that you can apply it to your lives, that you can know that I must hear, I must believe, I must repent of my sins, I must confess Christ, I must be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, and then I'm added to His church, the body that He promised to save. That as I continue faithfully with Him, I'll enjoy that eternal life in heaven. But all of those things require that we apply what we study, what we read from God's Word to our own lives. James is going to ask us or instruct us, be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, again, deceiving your own selves. He's going to go on and make application of that then in verse 26 and 27 of chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious, and he bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and that man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. James says that's going to be evident in your life if you are doers of the Word. I can't say that I'm faithful unto God, and yet His Word has had no impact on me. It hasn't changed me. Instead, he says, it's going to be evident that indeed your life has changed. And so again, we ask the question, will you apply God's Word to your life? Will you allow it to be your guide? Will you allow it to direct you? If you're not a New Testament Christian this morning, ask yourself the question, why not? Is it simply because we haven't had an open Bible? Well, they're easily available today. And we'll make sure you get one. Is it because we haven't had an open mind? Let us take the time to sit down and see indeed what that open Bible is going to tell us. What God's Word is going to show us. Is it because we're in need of an open mouth, someone to help us explain it? There are many even here today that would sit down and help us study, help us to learn more about God and about His Word. Is it because we haven't had open eyes and open ears? Will we determine even this morning that no longer, but instead I'm going to open my ears, I'm going to open my eyes, that I can understand God's Word and that I can follow it. And just like that Ethiopian, then I can go on my way rejoicing, knowing that as I continue with God, I have an eternal life with Him in heaven. Maybe we are a New Testament Christian this morning. We need to repent or turn back to God to be restored unto Him and unto His body. We'll pray with you as well and help you study God's Word as necessary to see those things that you need to do to turn back to Him and continue faithfully with Him. Or maybe it's even this morning we need to determine to be more like Philip. More like Philip, to look for those open opportunities. How many are in the world that need our open mouths to help them study the Word of God? Many that may have open eyes and open ears that are ready with an open mind and an open Bible to study God's Word and know the truth of eternal salvation. Will we be ready to teach the soul-saving message of the Gospel unto them whenever and wherever those opportunities present themselves? If you're subject to that invitation, wouldn't you respond to that even now as together we stand and sing?